We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats podcast network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim, in his Nia Clouden shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I may add. Gabe, oh boy, the WNBA draft was amazing. So many teams got better. I can't wait to talk about it. I mean, there's so much to unfold and unpack right now. Where do you want to start? Which team do you want to start with?
Well, so I want to start with the Miami Heat because obviously it was my birthday yesterday. I'm 29. I'm in elder stage millennial here at 29.
Elder stages.
But the Heat got a huge win last night. So I want to just, you know, give thanks to not only Jimmy Butler for having 45 points, but to all of my friends on Twitter who wish me a happy birthday and wish the Miami Heat luck, because the Heat were previously 0-2 in the playoffs on my birthday. Uh-huh. Now we are 1-2.
Hey, now.
And also, if you want to give me a birthday present, dear listener, subscribe to the channel. Hit subscribe on whatever podcast app you have. Our Twitter names popped up. Follow us on Twitter. That'd be an amazing, amazing birthday gift. But the best birthday gift, as you mentioned, was all the women's basketball news that we got with the draft, training camp started, like a bunch of college basketball news. So we're going to try to slam everything into a show, which is, you know, the Courtside way. It's the Gabe and Christy, in the Gabe and Christy way. But I think the place to start, though, is with your draft reactions. I did a show with Dano on last Monday talking about the draft. I also talked about the draft with Greg Bibb here on the channel. So go check out that stuff. But I want to get your reactions to what happened. And I guess, you know, starting out with, like, which player do you think ended up in the perfect spot?
Well, first of all, happy birthday. And you're wearing the gift from me. I mean,
yes,
I didn't know. I was not aware you and Candace Parker shared the same birthday, but happy birthday to both of y'all.
And but, Kate Hudson, weirdly. It's a weird group. It's Kate Hudson, cool. Candace Parker, and me.
I like it. That's a trifecta that we love. I love it. And the millennial that you said. The
elder millennial.
Older millennial. I can't. At 29, y'all. Anywho, we'll move on forward. But I think that in the draft for Indiana, I think for them to have 7 picks, I think they got more rugged immediately in all positions. And I'm excited to see what they look like. And to have 7 picks in one draft, come on, man. Who does that, number one, without getting better? So I'm anxious to see the young pieces that they selected, how they mesh with players like Kelsey Mitchell with Indiana, and how Marion Stanley shuffles and moves them all around. And Lynn Dunn has done a masterful job of selecting the tough-nosed, defensive-minded players that are ready to work. And I love it. I think it's going to be fun to see that.
No, I agree. I think Indiana did really well. I know a lot of people were a little shocked with the order of the picks because, you know, Lexi Hall was kind of not in a lot of first round mock drafts. You know, there's Queen Egbo. And then, you know, they end up getting Destiny Henderson at 20 when we thought, you know, hey, maybe they should take her at six. So it was a weird order, but I'm with you. I think like they just did an excellent job of collecting talent and finding a way to, I think one of the challenges they will have is finding a way to have five or six rookies on a roster. That's going to be very difficult to do. And I'm, you know, to a certain extent, they're not trying to win games next year. So that's a good thing, right? Like we know who's in next year's draft. So getting the number one pick next year is of the utmost importance to everyone. So, but I do think I'm with you. Like they just did an excellent job. I mean, Melissa Smith is a player we talked about all season long. Emily Engstler, huge impact in the tournament and all season. You know, Lexi Hall, hey, maybe we didn't see her in the first round, but she can rip the net and she played in a system that really tested her skills and put her to the test. And she's obviously a really smart basketball player. You don't play in Stanford without being that. Queen Egbo has a lot of growth potential, obviously knows how to play with Smith. You got Destiny Henderson, you got Misha Williams-Holiday from Jackson State. I mean, it's just like Allie Papberg's on this roster now. She may or may not make the team, but I like it. So I'm with you. Go Fever, hey. We have not said a lot of great things about the Fever on this podcast the last 2 years. I'm happy that they got this draft going.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. And I love that Allie Papberg landed there, right? Back at home. And, you know, there was this picture of her, I believe it was on the Indiana Fever's Instagram where she was holding her follow through, but it was her facial expression for me. Yeah. Like, this is it. Like, this is why I came back for another season after, you know, being injured, after transferring from Notre Dame and then going through it there at Indiana and coming back for that extra season. I, you know, it's all for a purpose and you love to see it work out for the hometown players. And speaking of hometown players, number three, Shakira Austin to the Washington Knicks, coming back home from Fredericksburg, but also played at Riverdale Baptist, the same high school that Tiana Hawkins played for, who is now back in DC as well. I just think that she's in the right place. You were talking about which players landed in the proper position in terms of the draft, in terms of the team and the roster. I really think this is an opportune moment for her to step in as a rookie and learn from some really great players and some just iconic coaches like Mike Thibault and Eric Thibault and his staff. I just think that, you know, Shelly Patterson, to me, she's won five titles as an assistant coach in the WNBA. She's now on with the Mystics as an assistant coach. So there's a lot of experience. There's a lot of leadership there. LaToya Sanders is back on staff too, to work with the bigs. I just love the fact that she's back and ready to work, you know, back home and ready to work with this experienced atmosphere here in DC.
No, and I think, you know, Shelly Patterson is going to be huge for developing her shot. I think Jackie Powell on the podcast we did earlier in the offseason said, called Shelly Patterson the shot doctor, you know, because she's really helped a ton of players in this league develop their shots and refine them. And I think Shakira Austin needs that to be the type of player she wants to be. And she gets to be around, like you're saying, LaToya Sanders, who is a really good model for maybe something that Shakira wants to be able to do in terms of being able to switch, in terms of being able to cover up some of the defensive gaps the Mystics have had in the past. It's a great player to learn from. And then you can learn from Elena Deladon, who, if you had to pick, if you're 6'5" and a basketball player, there's very few players in the world that you would want to emulate more than Elena Deladon, especially with Shakira's skill set. So I actually do agree here too. Like, I think she ended up in just a wonderful spot for her development, being at home too. Well, at home, Fredericksburg's far.
Well, she has a lot of family in the area. Yeah. Like DMV, I guess the V can stretch down that far. It's not just Northern Virginia.
Pause.
I mean, she's back. Close enough.
Yeah, no, I think it is close enough. It is close enough that she's back home. So I think all of that makes it a really, really great fit. And I see why the Mystics made that trade down from one to three. I do want to talk about that a little bit, but I also want to, I do want to say, I think the Dream did an excellent job with getting Ryan Howard and Naz Hillman. You know, Ryan, obviously she was kind of a consensus number one pick. Everyone besides me had her going first. which is a tiny bit hurtful, but I totally see why. And I had them 1A and 1B on my big board to get Ryan and to get Nas, a player that I think has a ton of potential. And you've been around so much, so I want to get your perspective on who Nas is. But like, I think that's an excellent draft as well.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. First of all, you know, when you are invested in these student athletes in college, like from their freshman year to their senior year, and then to see them get drafted, it's like, you know, their whole story. You don't just know their stat line. You know who they are, you know, for the most part. A lot of stories have been told, and we love to tell the stories, obviously, as television analysts and everything. But when Nas Hillman's name got announced, it was like I almost had some waterworks sitting, because I was just so proud of her, you know. And there have been so many like negative comments about how her game translates to the pro game, and is she pro ready? And I'm like, that kid has been pro ready probably since her sophomore year. Yeah. You know, she was most improved. She was sixth player of the year. She was player of the year in the conference. Like, she just works hard. And she's going to get the job done. I don't care if you measure her on the wall and say, well, she's 6'1". You can't measure her heart. Like, that kid is a tough, tough competitor. And she possesses so much fire and an incredible motor. And I think she's going to do great there. And she's really good friends with Ryan Howard. So yeah. I think that's always a great thing when you have that kind of chemistry already built in. But boy, I tell you, it struck me deep when she was announced to go to the Atlanta Dream. And I just know how proud her family is of her. I just know how proud Kim Barnes-Arrico, the head coach of Michigan, and all of the staff there and her teammates, I just know how proud they are of her, having watched her go through the process of becoming a WNBA player. And, you know, I can't wait to watch her play. I can't wait to watch her play. But I had a moment where I had to, like, ooh, wow, That was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
No, I really had that same feeling, because I'm not, you know, I've been someone who's like been questioning, you know, how Nas fits in this league. Where does she go? Like, what can she? But then I just keep coming back to what everyone, like literally everyone, says about this young lady, is that she works so hard. She is that. The type, like, just put her in the locker room, and with how much she has developed, I have no doubt that she could, maybe she doesn't,
right,
could develop into a very useful player, and even into a player that can be a starter, could be a star, right? I see that because of the work ethic, the skill set, you know, everything. But even if she just comes in and does what she did in college, and maybe, hey, that doesn't translate into a starter in the WNBA, you still want that player in the locker room. And I think in Atlanta too, it's like, she's going to have room to experiment and develop, because this is another team that's not necessarily trying to win right now. They're trying to win in the future. So they're going to, they will hopefully give her the space to explore her game and to try different things. And then when you give someone like her with that work ethic, with the ability, with the skill to figure it out, I don't know. I'd bet on her figuring it out too, just because of everything we've heard. Because I'm just so, I really, it's been shocking how many people bring up her work ethic and ability in that arena. So I'm just like, hey, you got to trust it, and hopefully she can develop some different skills.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows this. I mean, Dawn Staley even said it herself when Nas Hillman played with USA Basketball over the summer. Mm-hmm. She was in front of Dawn Staley and other coaches as well. But I remember Kim Barnes-Arrico at the beginning of the season, maybe at Media Day, she said she had worked with Dawn Staley with USA Basketball in the past. So they have a good rapport. And she said that Dawn Staley texted her and was like, Nas Hillman. And that's it. Like, that's all she said. She didn't say, like, you know, wasn't like a big paragraph. It was just like, Nas Hillman. And then she said, is she doing okay? She was like, no, that's it. Like, Nas Hillman, that's all I have to say. And so when you have someone like Dawn Staley say that, I think that it really gives credence to who she can become in the league, and maybe not who she is walking into the league, but who she is after years of experience in the WNBA. And I don't like really comparing players, because everybody is their own person and own human, but I really compare her style of game to Alyssa Thomas. Like, when she came into the league, it's like, well, she can't shoot the three. And I'm like, she doesn't need to shoot the three. She's pounding you in the paint. You can't stop her. And when you're bringing two and three bodies her way, she's still strong enough and nimble enough and smart enough to carve out a path to get to the rim. And I think that's what Naz Hillman is going to bring to the WNBA, a smaller post player, but incredibly crafty inside, incredibly capable of competing and just giving you her all. And she's a great teammate, but she's going to be able to, she's going to find her own niche, and she's going to be able to develop her offensive firepower just because of her sheer will to get the job done. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see that too.
We'll come back. All right. I'll bring it back now. Three, two, one. If you're watching on YouTube, sorry for that jump cut. Zoom timed out on us because we had a long discussion beforehand, because it's Christy and I. So we're all, we took a quick 30. Like my guy Eric Spoelstra walk out to the court, call a timeout. So we obviously have a ton of draft takes. I mean, I think Veronica Burton's a really interesting pick. I talked about her with Greg Bibb. You know, Maya Hollingshead was really interesting. I gave like all my reaction to that. Obviously my girl Nia Claudin going to Connecticut. My theory here is like she's the long-term replacement for Courtney Williams, because this team desperately needed someone to get a shot off the bounce at times.
Yes.
I think Nia could do that like almost immediately. And you know, obviously every rookie has a growing period, but sure. I think she can come in immediately and kind of give that. So like that's my I think that's the thought process there. I really, really like it. And I think she's gonna have a really good chance to play a lot this year. Depending on injuries and how everything goes. I think Nia's gonna get a good chance to play with some really, really good players and grow up in Connecticut.
Yeah, no question about it. And I like her maybe to be plugged in for Jasmine Thomas at times too. Yeah. I mean, I think she's very versatile in that way on the perimeter for Connecticut, and her speed that she possesses, I think, will also be a bonus. They love to push tempo in Connecticut, and she's going to be a vital piece to that. I mean, she had a 50-point game this season, this collegiate season against Florida Gulf Coast. Florida Gulf Coast won that with Kirsten Bell, and we'll get to her too, being drafted to Vegas. But it's just another player who I'm supremely proud of, just to be able to do what she did in a Michigan State uniform and do what she did in the Big Ten, and just an incredible young lady, probably the most humble and modest person that you'll see. I was there for their senior night, and she was just so humble in that moment, you know, knowing all of what she had done for that program. And Susie Merchant for sure is incredibly proud of her as well.
I also love that she had pink heels on, so Naz. Did anyone say like that was like coordinated or did that happen? I have not seen any reporting on that. I'll do some reporting on that.
Yeah. And I started researching pink heels for the WNBA season because, you know, I may as well just go ahead and jump on the bandwagon. fashion statement from those two ladies. And I loved it. They look beautiful.
Big ten and big pink high heels. One thing we should mention though before we get into some of the other picks is Niyar Sabali is going to be out for the season in New York. Which in one way is sad because we don't get to see her play, and a little concerning. However, I think she probably needs a year to kind of get right, and I think New York stock, I think they've kind of made that pick with that, with the mindset of, hey, our doctors can help get her right if they're given time. I'm guessing that's what happened. I saw some people say, well, you know, they shouldn't have made that pick. It's like, look, whatever the information was, like they knew this was probably possible. I think Jonathan Cobb even said it. Like,
and he did say that. Yeah.
Like it's definitely possible that she wasn't going to play. So I think hopefully this turns around, like this will help her get healthy and be ready to have a very long WNBA career.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, she played limited games at Oregon. So it's not like she, you know, played all of the games available to her with the Ducks. So, I mean, she's had injury issues. So hopefully, like you said, this is the opportunity for her to get right, to be with physicians on the professional level who can, you know, manage her body and get her healthy and ready to compete. And Kalani Brown, too, was waived by the Vegas Aces because of injury, a meniscus situation that will only keep her out for a month. But when you're talking about the WNBA season being so compact and condensed, it's really hard to, you know, get back to playing speed and playing rhythm after missing a month with something like that. So they said they didn't know how serious the meniscus tear was for Kalani Brown, but you know, they did say it's going to be about a month to get her back on the floor.
Right. And then it becomes like, oh, are you like, have you played enough? Like, you know, there's a ton of things that go on with injuries. So it's just really unfortunate timing for Kalani, and you know, hopefully she can get back. And look, the thing is too, like one thing we all have to realize with rookies, with vets, with everyone in training camp, the way it works is you can get cut. And that was an opportunity to show that team, hey, this is what I can do. And then at some point later in the year, they may need you.
Yes.
Team players come back, and like Shea Petty, for example, when she first got back with the Mystics, she was in training camp. She impressed everyone. She stuck around as a video coordinator on the staff, and then she eventually got onto the roster, played in the last couple of weeks of that season, now is a full-time WNBA player. So just like that's one thing to always keep in mind here, because we're going to see some draft picks get cut, and that happens. But you always have a chance to come back. So that's why these next 3 weeks here are so important for every single player. If you get an opportunity to show what you can do, you got to do it, because you always have a chance to come back, whether you make the initial roster or not.
I know. And it's really unfortunate. It's really so hard, because I've already seen some cuts, you know, that have been made. And I'm like, man, that kid is great, a great player. But there's just not enough roster spots for these great elite level players, and that's so hard. And it's not just, you know, teams aren't keeping 12, like it's not across the board 12. It's most teams are keeping 11. I would say half the teams are keeping like 11 because of salary cap issues and so forth and so on. So I mean, you're talking 17, 18 players in a training camp. You got to make some tough cuts, man. Like, I'm glad I don't have to do that. I'm glad I don't have to do it, because I mean, you work so hard to get in the camp, number one, and just the limited amount of even drafted players sticking. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Like, and I'm not just talking about the ones invited to training camp. I'm talking about being drafted in the three rounds of the WNBA draft and sticking for the season. I mean, that's tough. And then you see people who have been out of the league or have been trying for years to get into the league. Hey, come on, man. It's devastating to me, you know, to feel what that energy will be in that room when they're told they're not on the roster. It's really sad.
And it's the bang. It's like the bang nature of it too. Like, I was just in college. Some of us were just playing in the tournament. Like, some of us had like our highest highs of our college career after for all of these players, right? If you get drafted in WNBA, you were good in college. You were really good in college.
You are right.
And it's like to have all that, and then boom, the next right after Final Four, you're getting drafted. Okay, you know, now we have 3 weeks. Camp starts on Sunday, so we have 5 days to enjoy that. Yeah. And now we're going to camp. We're doing classes to finish. Like, Shakira Austin has to finish up her degree, so I'm doing classes. You know, am I going to be able to go to my college graduation? Am I, you know? And then you have to come in and work so hard to even get on the radar that it is. It's not discouraging. It's just like, it's tough. It's tough to the schedule. I wish we had a different schedule for women's basketball. Cause like, I think players deserve to have that moment a little bit more, and deserve to have more of a shot also to make the team. Cause you don't have much of a shot, especially cause you haven't interviewed. You don't get to interview teams. You don't get to have teams, you know, go to your workouts. There was a combine at the Final Four, but there wasn't that many players there. So it's like, you don't get the chances. You don't get as many chances as the men do to show off your skills. So, I mean, I don't know how to fix it, because I'm not, that's above my pay grade, but I do wish we had a longer just time for evaluation, scouting, interviewing, all that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know Shakira Austin at the Mystics Media Day, she said as much. So they said, you know, what's your schedule like academically right now? You know, it's like you just get uplifted out of Ole Miss, and then now you're in the Mystics training camp. So she said she had two grueling weeks ahead of her to finish, because a lot of her credits didn't transfer when she left Maryland, and she had to basically cram in all of her core courses. And she is like, you know, in a Nemo mindset, just like keep swimming until you get that degree and just keep going. And so she recognizes that it's that's in front of her, but she knows she may not be walking for graduation either because of the WNBA. And that, I mean, some people leave and come back for a day just so they can have that moment with their families. And we all know Shakira Austin's grandma had that hat, honey, tipped to the side. You know, she wants to put that on for the graduation as well, but she may not be able to do that and share that moment.
Yeah, no, I hope she does get to go down there. Hopefully the schedule works out, but yeah. it's so tough for a lot of these players, and you know, just hope you guys are enjoying the moment, because it's really cool. I mean, you know, there's not many people who say they get to get drafted and get a chance to even show up for training camp. So awesome. I hope they all get to at least enjoy it a little bit. But let's talk a little bit more about Mystics Media Day, training camp, just like first impressions of the Mystics. We're going to go into some DMV talk, folks, because that's what we do.
That's where we are.
And, that's where we are. As you can see behind Christy, we are near the great state of Maryland. So I thought one of the things that struck me about Mystics Media Day was I don't think I've ever heard this team talk about defense as much as they did this year. Right? Am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong. I mean, I think every player said it. Mm-hmm. I think obviously Coach Tebow said it. And a lot of the questions from the media and myself were geared towards defense and the depth that they will have at every single position. And I think Natasha Cloud said it best. She said that we're going to be able to have so much more versatility on the defensive end. Like, we may be able to switch 1 through 4 or even 5 at some time, depending upon who's on the floor. But that's incredible. And I thought what Coach Tebow said about the switching was that, you know, I don't really like to switch all the time, but just to have the confidence in knowing that we could if we wanted to. And I loved hearing that, because he still wants to hold the players accountable for containment, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be able to contain, but you also want to have comfort in knowing if somebody happens to get by, you're a beat late, you're going to have somebody right there rotating at the proper time. So I love the confidence of that way of teaching defense. But Alicia Clark also said something kind of funny, like, you know, it's hard, you know, to be that locked in, knowing that you're going to have rim protectors, right, like Williams and Shakira Austin protecting the rim like that and protecting the paint. So, but you are going to go all out. But she was kind of being a little facetious about it. Yeah. But I thought, I mean, Alicia Clark, like, we know she's going to go out there and give her all once she's able to go 100%.
Well, I think it also, I mean, you know, I was going to bring this up with Connecticut earlier, is like, when you have a rim protector, it makes it a lot easier to pressure the ball. When you have rim protection, you can pressure the ball a lot more. And this team is a team that is built to pressure the ball, with Ariel Atkins, Natasha Cloud, Myshines Allen, and as you mentioned, Alicia Clark, like, all those players are really good at pressing, at getting you out of your offense. And it does give you so much more defensive versatility. I'm with Mike Tebow. Don't switch everything, because this defense is not bad enough that you need to do that.
Right.
The reason teams do that is if you have someone like, I don't know, James Harden, who is not that good on perimeter one-to-one defense, you need to switch everything to get them out of those situations.
Yeah.
Or help have your defense set up in order to help them when they get into those situations. I think the Mystics are in a better spot. I mean, you know, I think we'll see how healthy Elena Deladon is. I would imagine her defense is going to be a little worse than her offense, just, you know, years off. You know, you could practice your shot, you could practice some of the offensive things. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to play game type defense. So that would be my guess. But outside of her, and I don't really think her defense is a weak's is like, we're going to just hammer her.
No.
I think outside of her, you really have really solid defenders all around. And everyone. So I think the types of stuff that Tebow's going to be able to do on defense are going to be interesting, which is also interesting because he is not a defensive, like, minded head coach. Like, that's not what he it's not really what he likes to talk about or do, is like, he wants to make more beautiful offense. So it's going to be really cool. That's why I thought it was so interesting that we just had so much more talk about the defense.
Yeah, but you know what they're going to be able to do. And I think Natasha Cloud said this. She said, you know, our offense is what it is. Like, we know we have the ability to score, but this year we're really going to be able to display depth at every single position defensively and not fall off with the aggression that we want to apply. And so with a rookie like Kristen Williams, too, he's going to be able to come in and rotate defensively and in multiple positions at 5'11", but she's also a player who can create her own offense too, from all those positions on the perimeter, So I think that, you know, they're just going to be able to really tinker and experiment with a lot of different lineups. And I know Mike Tebow loves that and the flexibility and versatility of that. Myshines Allen, I saw that the playlist song that she wanted was All the Smoke or something like that. Oh, they want to go up the chimney. Okay. Get all the smoke they can. And I just think that there was like this quiet confidence. And I think that's exactly the wording that Mike Tebow utilized on media day. There's this quiet confidence about this team because they have a lot of the players back from that 2019 championship team. Mm-hmm. There was a point in the practice on the first day of practice where, you know, all five of them were on the floor together doing a drill, like a shooting drill. But yep. I was like, ooh, we all five of the 2019 champs are like together. And then Alicia Clark was in that mix too with them. And I was like, listen, like I was sitting over there losing my mind because I know Mike Tebow's mind is like racing yep. all around with what the lineups could possibly look like this year. But I was doing that during practice when they were just rotating to different baskets, working on different skills. And it was just really great to be back in the gym, number one, but also to be able to marinate with the possibilities of the upcoming season for the Washington Mystics.
And everyone was there, which is huge. It's huge. They have Maisha and Zal in the building to have, yeah. you know, Alicia Clark, she used to play in France and now she doesn't, you know, so that those two, Maisha was not available for like a few games early on last season. That just makes such a huge difference when you get to like hang out. Like, just think about it in your job, right? Like when you work with people that you like to hang out with and you're with more often,
easy,
it goes better. The job goes better. And like now it's not like, oh, hey, Maisha's coming in like four games into the season because she was playing in France and her team went to the French championship. It's like, well, no, hey, she's just here now. She's starting off the season with us. We're all hanging out together. We've all been together for 2 or 3 weeks. That's huge. It's just a huge difference from years past. And I think it's really going to play into Washington's favor. And I think it alleviates some of the strain mm-hmm. on Elena Deladon to be healthy. Yeah. I think it was such a stressful thing to have to, like, she was looking at the team and saying, I need to come back because they were struggling.
Yeah.
And so now she can, you know, she can be more, I think, cognizant of just like her health, because like, hey, we have depth, so if you want to play and then hey, we need to take a couple games off, it's like not going to kill her. And I think hopefully she seems healthy, she seems ready. So I, you know, we said the same thing last year, so I'm not gonna get my hopes up, but I think this team I think this team is more able to withstand it just because they're more together this year. And I mean, everyone's together in camp this year and they are deeper. One thing I want to bring up though.
Yeah.
Speaking of last year,
I'm listening.
There's a little bit of Tina Charles shade, just not Tina Charles shade, just shade towards last season.
I heard a little
low key, just like shade towards what happened last season. And I don't think it's Tina's fault. It's just like,
no.
I think due to the injuries, due to everything, everyone was like, we had to get out of what we did last year, of what we built. Because of all of these different, because Tina was coming in, because of the injuries, because we had to integrate Elena, because Maisha was coming in. Like, so it was like, everyone was like, you know, it just feels so much different than last year. Yeah. And there was some comments about, you know, what this team has accomplished without Tina. And I don't think there's any like bad blood. It's just, I thought it was a little interesting.
Yeah. I think, you know, it was the reality of the situation. And I don't think it was necessarily shady because it wasn't like something.
It was honest.
It wasn't something that was made up like to be mean or anything like that. I think it was just the way it is. And I think when Tina signed with Washington, she was signing on to play with Emma Mieseman, Elena Deladon, Cloud, all those guys, and Alicia Clark, you know, and the next year after whatever, the bubble. But I think with that, it was just not an ordinary situation for her to walk into last year and be really dependent upon to, you know, do everything offensively for Washington in the quarter court. And I don't think that she signed on to do that.
Right.
So in that regard, like you said, it's not her fault. I mean, that's just how the the bread was sliced, you know. It's just like, that's how it looks this year. And we just have to make do and do the best we can for the team. And I think that's what her sacrifice was last year. I mean, 30 points a game, like for that long stretch. It was 4 or 5 games where she had 30. It was like insane that she was able to do that, number one, but the fact that she had to do that and to maintain leading the league for most of the season, that's tough. And, you know, they won a championship without Tina, and that's documented, but that's not, it's not a mean statement. I think it was just, like you said, it was honest. And I don't think it was meant to be mean. It was just the circumstances and the timing of her coming to DC. It just didn't work out. And, you know, we wish her the best in Phoenix for sure. Yeah. But wow, would it be fun to have her here this year? Yeah, sure. But I mean, it's a different team this season as well. So
I think they
got to go with it.
Yeah, I think they just want to move on from last season. I think last season was super tough. And I think since we were around the team, we saw a little bit more. I think last year was just super tough on everyone involved. And they want to move on from it. So it sounded like Tina Charles Shade, but I really think it was just like, we got to move on from last year. And we're going to be honest. We can do what we've done in the past. As much as we would like, as much as Tina was a part of what we did last year, we've had success before. But I think that kind of all goes into the feeling that I had, which was my big takeaway, is like, this kind of feels like a new team. Even though, as you mentioned, like Tiana's back, Shatori's back, so it kind of has a 2019 feel. So we're connected to the past, but it definitely feels different and new. And there's new roles, and the people who are in the building, who have been in the building, their roles have changed so much. And so hopefully, if Elena's healthy, that's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge to fit in everyone to a new role and to keep what they've done without Elena. But it's also going to be an opportunity to see how it all works together, because the team makes so much more sense when you look at the fits on paper.
No doubt. And, you know, Alicia Clark, she said at Media Day, she said, I'm the oldest player on the team. And for me, what stood out the most, and even with what you were saying about the returning players coming back from that championship squad, and then these incoming draftees and invites and all of that, the energy is so fantastic. But what I was most impressed by during the practice, like their first practice, she had this voice, Alicia Clark did.
Oh, yeah.
Where she was very instructive. But at first, I didn't see where it was coming from, because they're all in a mosh. They're on the court and they're working through some things and all that. And I heard this powerful voice, like this commanding leader. And I said, wow, who is that? Because it's usually Natasha Cloud.
Yes.
And it was a couple of times. But there was this voice from Clark that I was just like, I had to lean back and touch the collarbone a little bit, because I'm like, listen to her. I mean, she sounds like a coach. Like, she sounded like a coach. And it was very tactical. It was very cut and dry and clear and concise with what she was saying to the team. And you could see players like Kristen Williams, the rookie, her body was like leaning forward. Her whole countenance was like, she's all ears, man. And she was taking in all of that great information. So when you have that kind of leadership on the court, I mean, it really pays dividends as the season unfolds. And I know that, you know, Elena Deledon, she said, you know, right now I'm just working through things. I feel great today. And this physically, you know, getting back into things, she said, but who knows, like if there's a stretch of games where the travel wouldn't be conducive for me, I have to really think about that. So we have to be mindful of that too. And what's best for her and her body. And Clark, she said she's not 100% yet, but she's really close. And as of day one, she said it was like 404 days of rehab. So these players have put in the time and the grind to get back out here. So it's not like, you know, they're 1, 2, 3 Cancun and then they come back into camp, like whatever. No, they are like hitting the ground every day, working with the best medical staff. You know, they share with the Washington Wizards here. And I just think that, you know, you have to give credit where credit is due in that regard, and what they are doing every day to play the game they love and really respect that.
Well, I think that was one of the reasons why it was so important to have both Elena Deledon and Alicia Clark stick around the team last year. Yeah. Obviously I think EDD would have been around because she's just been a part of this franchise so long, but Alicia came in, signed a contract, got hurt, got suspended because the Mystics needed the cap space, and stuck around because the Oregon, I don't know what happened necessarily, how they got her to stick around, but she wanted to be around the team. And she was on the bench communicating with people during the game, calling out plays from the sidelines.
Yeah.
And that sort of communication is going to carry over when you have people who have been around you, it is easier to communicate. Oh, yeah. The key, especially in defensive basketball. So now she knows what everyone is doing. She knows what's happening. She knows like their strengths and weaknesses from seeing it on the sidelines last year. So huge, huge deal to have her stick around. Same with Elena Deledon. So awesome stuff. I'm super excited. We're going to see. I would be very upset if injuries like derail another season. I don't care.
Some wood? I got to find some wood to knock on. Wait, there's a table right here. There we go. Knock on that wood.
Knock on the wood. It's just like
it was a lot last year to deal with.
So much, and I just really hope it all. At the very like, let's fail or sit. Like, let the team fail or succeed, based on whether they can fail or succeed. Like that's all. That's all together. We're looking for.
Together. DC. There you go. Together, DC. There you go.
Together on DC on three. Do we have anything else on training camp? I mean, there hasn't been too much news going around the WNBA yet. Jennifer Coleman from the Mystics camp did get waived, which is unfortunate. Navy player who I was pretty excited to see him camp because she's a straight bucket. Maybe she gets another chance at another training camp at some point, depending on injuries. Yeah, there's some interesting camps. I think Richard Cohen's going to do an article, or we'll talk about it on the podcast next week, about who's going to make the rosters and what these rosters are going to look like early on the season.
Yeah, that'll be tough.
It'll be tough. But, I mean, anything else on training camp that you want to mention?
I just love that Natasha Cloud said, no more going under screens on me. Yeah. I'm a shooter. And that she's a bleeping dog. Those were some highlights from her. But she's ready, and she physically just looks great.
Oh, Mike flexing.
Mike flexing was just the moment of the entire media day with Maisha. It was really fun. But I just think that, like what Mike said, there's like what Mike Tebow said, there's an incredible amount of quiet confidence. Like they know what they're capable of doing. They've worked on their games. I think the AU experience for Tiana and for Natasha Cloud, I think was really wonderful for them. And I think, you know, they gained confidence from that. Also Ariel Atkins, USA basketball and Olympic gold medaling. I think that really paid dividends for her. And she's always been confident, but she's always kind of exuded it on the interior. But now, you know, you're seeing her step into a veteran role, like almost veteran role, almost like what you were saying as an elder millennial, like she's not quite where you are, but almost. But I think with that, you know, the experience, not only with USA basketball, but now, you know, you've won a WNBA championship, you have a gold medal, and now you have all of that invaluable experience playing with players like that, playing for players and for coaches who have your best interests at heart. And it's just very evident the growth of a lot of these players in that way.
Yeah, I agree. But we have to get to some college basketball news. We're kind of going to go a little bit rapid fire here.
Okay.
Not rapid fire, because actually I have a big long Maryland thing, of course. Okay. But we do want to send our best wishes to USC commit Aaliyah Gales. She was shot at a house party. She's recovering. We're very happy that she's recovering, but just a really heartbreaking situation. So we want to send our best wishes out to her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. That was so scary. I just can't believe that she was shot multiple times and survived. I'm so glad that she did. But oh my gosh, when I first read that, I did not think that she made it the first couple sentences of the article. I'm like, oh no. So yes, prayers her way for sure on that.
Yeah, sending prayers and love and good vibes. So I just wanted to mention that. And let's talk about Maryland now. Brent DeVries bouncing back. As we mentioned, we kind of thought this was going to happen when she had a string of transfers leave the program, including Ashley Owusu and Angel Reese. I think we theorized like, hey, this has happened before. Brendan knows how to respond and get players in the building. Well, she definitely did that. Abby Myers from Princeton coming in, Aliza Pinzon from USF coming in, point guard who can step in immediately. I don't think I've missed any transfers, but there are transfer rumors about Maryland getting some folks. Also, they get two big recruits, Gia Cook from Clinton, Maryland, number 58 player overall in the class according to ESPN, and Brianna McDaniel, a 5'10 guard from Chicago, who's the 42nd overall recruit in this class, the 10th best guard. So yeah, Brenda does well, and she gets the extension through 2028, 2029. So that's what she does. I'm not surprised.
well, she's back, you know? I mean, that's what happens. I mean, she's faced with adversity. She's not going to sit there and do a woe is me. She's going to sit there and say, what do we do about it? And she's very proactive in that way. We've seen it right now, like with signing these really bona fide ballers. And the two players, the last two that you mentioned, Brianna and Gia, both of them had committed to Texas A&M. And then there was a coaching change there, and they both decided to come together to come to Maryland. So I thought that was a little intriguing. Gia Cook played for GTS Fusion. I know she played for a team takeover after that, but she played with my daughter Bree and AZ Bud and everything for a season. So she's very dynamic, very speedy, very crafty, very confident with the ball, ability to score at the rim, shifty. So I know about her skill set, but I also know the young lady from Princeton. She was the Ivy League player of the year. So she's legit. She's going to be able to come in. I mean, Katie Benson was another Ivy League player who came in and fit right in with how Maryland wants to play. Yeah. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how they all come together. And again, well wishes for Diamond Miller, who went through her knee surgery a couple of weeks ago. So hopefully they said 4 to 6 months for her. So she'll be getting back to the court, hopefully right at the right time for Maryland.
Same thing as I think she had that similar timeline from last year, right?
I believe so. But I don't think she had surgery last time. I think she just had because she did the USA basketball. So there really wasn't a good time to do it. Although, you know, she missed a chunk of games at the beginning of the regular season because of it.
No, and I think the healthy Diamond Miller with this team, with these transfers.
Yeah.
They're ready to go again. You know, I think there's still some gaps, and I believe someone said that Maryland's not done. One of the reporters that covers Maryland basketball said they're not done, and they're looking for more folks in the transfer portal, and they got some more space. I know Mimi Collins ended up at NC State, I believe, as a grad transfer.
Yes.
So good for her getting down to Westmore. I mean, that's a great program too. So excellent for Mimi. And Chloe Bibby is in Minnesota Lynx training camp.
Right.
The opportunity there, which is great. So folks, still no word on Ashley Owusu or Angel Reese.
No.
I've not heard from them. I know Sanaya Rivers is transferring from South Carolina. One of our theories was that they would end up in South Carolina. But Rivers is leaving, so I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know if that's like a smoke signal or if Rivers is leaving just for different reasons or whatever. But, you know, certainly interesting stuff going down the transfer portal. So hopefully Angel and Ashley end up in a good landing spot. Maryland, though, has bounced back. I did want to talk about a couple other players that ended up in the transfer portal. Morgan Jones is going to Louisville. You guys remember Emily Anxler? We just talked about her as the draft pick. Like this is kind of the same thing. Morgan Jones is a similar player, more of a three than a four. Anxler is a little bit bigger, a little better on defense, and just a little bit more advanced. But I think Jones has a skill set that's going to be great at Louisville. Did you get to see Morgan Jones that much this year at FSU?
I didn't see her that much, no, but I know that Jeff Walls was tremendously excited about her joining the team. So, I mean, if he's excited, he likes it. I love it. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to get players to go hard. And I saw that, you know, in their practices, you know, he holds them accountable, but he also loves them up, you know, and we've seen it, with them making their run to the Final Four. So this is really fun. And you know, I know Haley will have fun with her and she has some years under her belt. And that'll be fun to see how they mesh together as well.
Haley, and I think it's a great fit. I think it's a great fit. It's exactly what they're going to be looking for. Yeah. We'll see how much she can make the leap like Emily did this year at Louisville. I do want to mention one of, if not the most shocking transfer, although I guess it wasn't that shocking. Aubrey Jones is transferring from Iowa State. She is the sister of Ashley Jones, the superstar for the Cyclones. And her other sister is coming in as a recruit to Iowa State. And Aubrey is leaving. You know, M. Adler, I believe, broke the story. M. Adler of the Next, friend of the program. Tommy Birch, another friend of the program from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Register. I was talking to him about it, and he was like, yeah, she was pretty unhappy with her playing time for most of the season. She wanted to leave. So I guess that's one less Jones in Iowa State, which,
But hey, Gabe, man, listen, it is what it is. And I'm not going to, I'm not here to, try to calculate and figure out what every kid is doing. And that's in the portal. Yeah. Over 1100 kids in the portal now on the women's basketball side. That's a lot. But in this instance with the three sisters, so, at Thanksgiving, or how it used to be anyway, there'd be the big table for everybody and then the little card table. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be at the card table, and the ones that are at Iowa State are going to be at the big table. This is going to be a little awkward at the family functions, I'm just going to say. I would think, and maybe not, and maybe they'll just be fine, but I could see maybe a something.
Well, like, I don't know, like, her family shows up to every single game. Her family was in, like, the Jones family was in Greensboro. So it's like,
that's what I'm saying. And now you're gonna make it tougher on the parents. As I have three kids, it's hard to get everywhere where you need to be. Well, so I'd stay on the team, help mom and dad. Gas is expensive, like, we don't have time.
Well, but here's the thing.
It's up to you. It's up to the kids.
I'm gonna look up her playing time. I'm with you. Like, whatever. Whatever you need to do is cool. I mean, I just hope you're not, because, like, she played 21 minutes a game. Like, and you're a sophomore. So if it's just playing time, and maybe it's not, maybe there's other things in her life that we don't know about. It's just what I heard. So it's like, it's just playing time. Like, I mean, you go to Drake, but guess what? Drake's got players. I know Drake's close, but Drake's got players, and you're not guaranteed a starting spot.
No,
so I hope it works out for her. I was so convinced that one of the reasons that Ashley Jones is coming back to Iowa State instead of going to the WNBA draft, where she may have been a first round pick, was to play with her sisters, plural. Right. And Aubrey's like, nah, peace.
She's like, okay, bye.
Apparently it was boiling over for a while, but good luck to all the kids in transport. Like we said last week, we'll go into, we had our whole market discussion about, what needs to happen, and hopefully schools can get kids some more help in education and helping them figure out where the best place to be is. And we hope that everyone ends up in the best place to be, because a lot of players have transferred and made really big impacts. But
that's true too. And some have not been picked up and are hanging out to dry.
I do have to mention, I misread a stat from last week. I said the stat I mentioned was, like, I think 28% of players that transferred.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's wrong. It was D2 players didn't end up at a D1 school. But I did look it up. I believe it is 43% of transfers at the D1 level don't end up at another D1 institution. So that's 43% of players. That rough count, just from the stuff that we know, obviously we don't have access to the entire transfer portal, but it's like cautionary tales, and I hope schools are making sure that players are aware of it. Not that you should be in a bad situation for you, but just know, like, I think Jeff Wall said it, like, hey, the grass always looks greener because fertilized with BS, which is Jeff Walls. It's hilarious from Jeff Walls, who has benefited so much from the transfer portal, to be saying that, but I think the point kind of stands.
Repeat it again.
The grass looks greener on the other side because it's fertilized with BS. He didn't use BS. He said the whole thing.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. As you know, interviewing Haley.
I was just trying to make, because I talked kind of over the last part of it, so I wanted to have it clearly stated. So that's an interesting way
Louisville folks don't self-censor, which we love here. speaking of transfers, let's talk about coaching transfers, as I like to call them.
I'm gonna start calling
them coaching transfers. Carly Thibeau Dudonis, obviously a favorite of this podcast due to all her mystic size. She ends up getting her first head coaching job at Fairfield. And Fairfield just, they won the MAAC, correct, this year?
Yeah,
I imagine they did. So she's coming into a good program, getting a good chance. So just wanted to shout out to Carly for getting her first job.
Yeah, I am so excited for her. And Nancy was up there, Nancy Tebow. I know mm-hmm. Eric and Mike were at the Mystics training camp, but I know they're going to be making that trip up there wearing their red Fairfield stuff. So it's really fun.
Is Fairfield, forgive me, guys, I'm not from the Northeast. Where is Fairfield?
Connecticut. Do you know,
is it in Connecticut?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, cool. I did not know that. It's in Fairfield, Connecticut, so that makes sense.
There you go.
I don't think I've ever been to Connecticut for as much as we talk about Connecticut on this podcast. Maybe I'll go up there.
Yeah.
It's like in the beach, kind of near the beach. Whatever. That's cool, man. See? I didn't know where it was.
Get you a lobster roll when you go up there.
Huh? Yeah, right.
Get you a lobster roll and, you know, hang out.
I do think I'm wrong. I don't think Fairfield won the MAAC.
I thought they did.
I think that might. They did. They did. They went 19-1. Okay. So they did. Yeah.
19-1.
Ooh. And they were in the tournament. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because on the men's side, it was St. Peter's who won.
Yes.
Yep.
And made that big run. Yeah.
So sorry about the confusion there. But yeah. No worries. Shouts to Carly. Also, obviously, if I'm not talking about Miami, I'm talking about William & Mary. Aaron Dickerson Davis is the new women's basketball head coach at mm-hmm. William & Mary.
Yes.
Seems like a great hire. You know more about her, so I want to get your take on her, but she's a Northwestern grad, played at mm-hmm. Northwestern, spent time at Towson, Georgetown, most recently at Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. All those schools really make sense with William & Mary, which is a very academic first school.
Yes.
Every school is academic first, but right. William & Mary is like, you have the classroom is way more important than the court. And I think she can handle that. If you've been at Georgetown and Wake Forest, certainly, and she can help bring in recruits from this area. So
yeah,
I'm excited for it as a William & Mary alum.
Oh, no, I love her. And I think she has a tremendous opportunity there at William & Mary. She was at Georgetown when my daughter was being recruited by Georgetown. Mm-hmm. So she was on staff there. So we spent a lot of time, you know, talking to her and being on campus with her. And she was just amazing. So when she went to Wake Forest, I know Jen Hoover very well. We played against each other in college. And so for her to go down there with Jen, I thought was really special. But now for her to be first year head coach, I'm super excited for her and congrats. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for you as an alum to cheer.
I'm going to get down there. I'm going to try to go to a lot of the schools around here. But yeah, I'm definitely going back to William & Mary. So yeah, shouts out to her. I think there's a ton of other news that we could always get to. There's a ton of stuff that we leave on the table in these podcasts. I don't think I'm missing anything. You got anything else, Christy, that you want to?
Yes. It's hard to call, you know, players who you recruited and coached.
Right.
It's hard to call them friends, but this is a great friend of mine, Sarah Jenkins, who played at Riverdale Baptist. I recruited her when I was assistant coach at Maryland for her freshman year. She decided to leave after her freshman season. And I took those 2 years off in between, had two babies, came back and coached at Georgetown. And then that's where Sarah had transferred. So I coached her freshman year and her senior year. But she was assistant coach at Penn State. Before that, she was also at Georgetown and Delaware, but now she is back as the head coach at Delaware. Mm-hmm. And you know, talk about crying when Naz Hillman's name was being called. When that news came out that she was going to do that, Natasha Adair, she took the head coaching position at Arizona State. She was at Delaware. They made that run to the tournament and lost it in College Park.
Yeah.
But for her to be able to come back and coach at Delaware, I'm just extremely thrilled for her. I was texting with Mo Curry, and she was just excited too. All the DMVers are, you know, just over the top with the possibilities with Sarah Jenkins being there. Her dad, Reverend John Jenkins, at First Baptist Church in Glen Arden, Maryland. You know, and Trina, her mom, like I know their whole family, but he has a mega church in PG County, Maryland. And awesome. They're going to have a lot of support for her because that's not too far up the road. So
yeah, Delaware's kind of extended DMV.
Yeah.
Well, we count it when it's beneficial to us. So shouts to the Blue Hens.
Absolutely.
That'll be a matchup that we can go to down there in Williamsburg, CAA matchup between William & Mary and the Delaware.
There you go. And then Deladon may be there too, because that's her.
That's her school.
William & Mary's your school.
I thought it was a little surprising that she wasn't at the Maryland game, but I'm sure she had other things to do.
She's working out, man. She looks good. She looks good.
Whatever she was doing, it seems to have worked. But yeah, shouts to Coach Jenkins. I mean, shouts to all the new coaches. It's really, really exciting time for all these new coaches taking over, especially all the ones near us. So, that's all I got.
That's it. Yeah.
This will be talking next week. Season won't be have started next week. So maybe we'll do our season preview.
Ooh. I know. I can't wait for that. Once the rosters are narrowed down, unfortunately, I know it's going to be hard to do, but once that happens, we will bring that all to you. But we don't have to go home. Y'all don't have to go home, but we got to get up out of here. They're cutting the lights out on us. Mm-hmm. We're still sitting here courtside. We're going to walk off slowly and still talk about all these things we discussed today. But we certainly appreciate you guys joining us today right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network for this episode of Courtside with Christy and Gabe. For my partner, Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winter Scott. We'll see you next time.